Joanna Schroeder reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and I am with Bill Levy, who is the CEO and founder of Pacific Ag. Bill, how are you?
Good. Good afternoon.
Well, Bill, thanks for joining me. We are in Hugoton, Kansas, at the Ab and Goa grand opening or celebration of their cellulosic ethanol plant. And you have been a very silent partner in this project. Actually, you've been a very silent partner in most cellulosic projects. So my first question for you, Bill, is can you tell us a little bit about your company?
Well, Pacific Ag started in 1998, and we started baling residue for growers and using that residue for animal feed, both internationally and domestically. And so, you know, it was a natural progression for us to get involved in the cellulosic projects around the United States and to, you know, be a major supplier to them.
So let's talk about, you have six supply sheds, actually, around the country. And I think people would say, oh, well, Bill, you're pretty new to this, but you mentioned that you've been doing this 15, 20 plus years. So it's obviously a natural fit. So how did you take this business model that worked, and how did you apply that to, and we'll use Ab and Goa as an example, how did you apply that to Ab and Goa to help make the cellulosic project successful?
Well, since the first days of Pacific Ag, we have always been focused on removing residue and making sure that we have a balanced residue program for growers and that we're finding value for those products for them. And so, again, you know, that core competency of really the service of removing the right amount of residue was something that was easy to, in some respects it was really difficult, but in many respects it was very easy to take what we had learned in the Northwest and start doing the same activities in the Midwest for these projects. It's the, you know, the fundamentals of having residue removed on a timely basis and in a sustainable way is really the same whether you're in the Northwest, California, Kansas, or Iowa. And today we're in North Carolina, Iowa, Kansas, and California in the Northwest. And, you know, I think there's a little differences in everywhere we operate. There certainly is a unique set of challenges in each place, but the fundamentals have not changed, which is that there is a great opportunity to take residue and create, you know, something of value from that. And that's an exciting trend.
Well, there's been some talk about different business models on what's the best business model for collecting the biomass and getting it to an ethanol facility or whatever, you know, bioenergy facility. And you seem to hit on a very financially viable model. So can you talk a little bit about how it works and why it is, not to pit one way against another, but why it is so financially viable?
Well, we have tried to make it easy for growers to be a part of the program by, you know, taking care of the harvest. We own the machinery. We come. We schedule the harvest, the removal of the residue or energy crop with the grower, and then we provide them with an income stream for that product. And I think that it's very important that we have the size that allows us to invest in that equipment. And a lot of times, it doesn't make sense financially for a grower to invest in that harvest equipment just to harvest the residue. And so that's a key part of, I think, what growers enjoy is that they really do or really are able to sit back and enjoy a residue removal program and the income from that, but not have to put a lot of effort into it.
Well, one point I want to hit on is when I came in here this morning and they had a really neat setup as you walk in and they had a tractor. And they had the bale, which is probably not the correct terminology I'm using here, behind it. But you actually are the largest buyer owner of this biomass harvesting equipment in the world, correct?
Yes. We have the largest fleet of biomass harvesting equipment in the U.S. And we're the world's largest buyer of large square balers. And, you know, we've gotten there over many, many years. You know, it didn't just happen. And, you know, we're passionate about what we do. And given our footprint now, we have a lot of equipment to be able to service a lot of growers very quickly.
Well, Did you not, in fact, work with some of the companies to help them refine the technology for baling, since you do have, you know, a 20, 30-year history in baling? I mean, not necessarily for corn stover, but can you talk a little bit about how you were involved in that process?
Yeah, I think we've always been involved in the improvement of the equipment used to densify residue, because it's obviously that's our business. And so, you know, we've tried to work close with manufacturers to make sure that they're, you know, introducing the latest and greatest technology and making the best improvements they can. We have some off-site strategic meetings with the manufacturers in the off-season to, you know, go through the equipment, go through the things that we would like to see them add and improve. And I think those are very valuable for us, are very valuable for the manufacturers. And I think we're going to just continue to see technology being brought into this area of collection, and that's going to help us get to these harder-to-reach residues. You know, some places we're going to need a different type of technology to get to all the residue economically.
Now, I'm a farmer, and I'm looking for some easy money here, Bill. And you said virtually no effort on my part to participate with you. So walk me through the process for a minute on exactly how you interact with the farmers or how you work with the farmers.
Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, so if you had let's say you have five circles of corn, we'd love to harvest them. And all you need to do is call us when you've harvested those fields. And, you know, we'll come in and schedule that with you. We'll let you know when we're going to be there. We have a very predictable payment schedule. You get 50% of it of our payment when the stack is created, and 50% when the stack moves. And we've got a great paperwork system to track all of the movement and all the bales, all the tons. And so, you know, it's that's really all you got to do is give us permission to go on your farm and harvest, harvest residue. What's nice, but it's not always possible, is to have growers tell us up front how many circles they think they're going to harvest, because we do put so much effort into planning the season, and obviously the amount of equipment we run is very important to making sure we get it to everybody on time. And so it gets harder and harder to handle the at harvest time decisions, but we do the best we can because we want to have people experience this.
Well, you're in a great situation right now with Abengoa cellulosic plant going online. And as they start to ramp up, they're going to need more biomass. So, Bill, do you need more growers in this area in particular to give you a call and meet with you and get them pre-signed up to provide you biomass next year so we can hit the cellulosic gallons, nameplate gallons?
We do need more biomass. And what I would urge growers to do is they don't have to decide to harvest their entire farm. They can decide that they want to do 20% or 10% of their acres, but they should try it, because I think we're performing a residue management system really that's different than what has been done before, where we really are looking at the sustainable ways to do it long term and where it benefits the grower and of course it's beneficial to Abengoa. And so I would encourage growers to try it, you know, and if one field is too many, try half a field. You know, let's do a test. You know, let's do half a field, and then the other half, we'll remove no residue, and you can see the differences yourself, because we're seeing amazing results. We're seeing better yields. We're seeing less pest pressure, less disease issues, better stands, better emergence. And I think we're really just seeing a lot of success.
So when you talk about well, we're talking about biofuel, so I'm going to shift back for a minute. And one of the things they mentioned today was, Secretary Moniz mentioned today, was that you're going to see a lot of what people consider to be first-generation ethanol plants bolt on cellulosic technology using corn stover and other biomass. So is there an opportunity for some of these plants who are looking at doing this to reach out to you now and talk to you potentially about becoming a partner in the biomass management so that, you know, when they're ready to go online, the biomass is there?
Yes, I think what we have learned by working with some of the very first cellulosic ethanol plants in the U.S. is that you do need to start early educating, you know, the growers in your area, and start building those relationships for supply. The common, I think, challenge that we see is that these projects felt like the biomass would come to the plant sooner and in higher volumes. And what we've learned is that it's there, the volume is there, it's there economically, but growers need to know that this is not going to be an activity that's going to hurt their primary, you know, farming activities. And so, you know, we're it's a little bit more of a development process, so I would urge, you know, people who are just entering into the market or who are looking at this option of cellulosic to start early. And you know, we've been certainly involved in developing some of the largest projects in the U.S. and would, you know, have a lot of experience, you know, with bringing on growers and developing supply chains.
Well, Bill, what people listening to this can't see is the passion and enthusiasm of your team that was here today and how excited and proud you were, not only for, you know, for Abengoa, obviously, but to be able to be part of that. So congratulations, you know, for being such a huge player in this and the industry in terms of helping cellulosic ethanol become a real fuel.
Thank you. We're excited to be a part of it. And I think as the world starts to look at renewable energy, agriculture is going to be the benefactor. So that's exciting. We're in a great space. You know, this is, you know, it's going to be an exciting journey here.
Thanks.
Thank you.